Hey, 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 what's up, everybody? Again, it's another Tuesday. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
And guess what? We're the second people on this whole entire planet to play this song.
You're so evil.
Let's listen to it.
This song is going to be the hottest song, I'm telling you. I'm already pumped for it. And I've only heard it, like, two times. I just think it's gonna be the hottest thing ever. But we're talking over it, so no one can really steal it.
We're putting our work on top of this work.
Yeah, we're making art.
We are. We're in fact making art. It's great. Let's give credit where credit is due, man. I'm excited about this.
My Chemical Romance's
new song. My Chemical Romance. Nah. And I think there's a lot more nahs in a parentheses in there.
But the official song is called Nah Nah Nah.
Yeah, have a listen to it. We're helping. We're promoting you. Not that you need help promoting it.
Like N A N A. N-A.
Yeah. Here's your favorite part.
This is my favorite part. And right here, right now, all the way in Battery City, little children raise their open, filthy palms like tiny daggers up to heaven. And all the chewy halls and the weird rats have angels made from neon and pinky garbage screamed out, what will save us? And the sky opened up.
Exactly.
We want to try.
Exactly.
We're trying to save the world here on the Carolyn Joe
Show. There you go. Yes, another Tuesday. I know this song actually gets released today on iTunes, but whatever.
Oh, it does?
But whatever. Have a little faith in your friendly man here.
Well, you know, if we do release this radio show at 12:01, it's the same time that my chem is releasing it. So, you know, you can just go on iTunes and download it legally, which we suggest.
Exactly. That's sort of what we did.
So, you know, we're promoting.
Either that or we're friends with My Chemical Romance. That could be one of those things.
Yeah, we had easy access to obtain this track.
That could be a choice right there. So, yes, indeed. What's happening this weekend, Ms. Carolyn?
Okay, this coming weekend, two events that are totally different from each other, but still related. And they relate in the way that Curl's Studio is the only one that will be at both of these.
Exactly.
Oh my gosh. Curl's Studio on October 2nd, which is this Saturday, is going to be at Crafty Bastards. And if you haven't heard of Crafty Bastards, it's the biggest craft show probably on the East Coast. You know, I'm going to go out there and say that. It's in D.C. It's in the Adams Morgan neighborhood. And I think the times are from something like 10 to 5. So, you know, it's mostly the whole day. And I think you should go and check it out. I mean, honestly, they have, like, really great people going to be there because I checked out the vendor list, and it's amazing. Like, you'll find stuff that you cannot find at the mall. You can find original stuff that all your friends are going to be like, where'd you get that? What is that? I want one, too.
Exactly.
It's going to be like that.
Yeah. How are these people who, like, after they go to the show, after they go to the Crafty Bastard and they see, you know, and they tell people about it, they got to wait a whole entire year, right?
Well,
that's
sure,
not true, though, right?
I'm sure, because, like, a lot of these artisans have Etsy sites. Like, it is, like, the best of Etsy in person.
We can find Curl Studio stuff on Etsy as well, right?
Yeah, you can. I think my username on there is Cartoon Carolyn.
Back in the day.
Yes, that was my handle back in the day. So, yeah, like, check out Crafty Bastards. We're going to be there, and we're going to be at, I think it's table 80. Or tent. We have a big tent, and it's gonna be pretty rad. I've never actually been to Crafty Bastards, but from what I've heard the most amazing things from that show. And then on October 3rd, which is that following Sunday, you know, so go to
the day after,
the day after Crafty Bastards. So go to Crafty Bastards on Saturday, and then on Sunday go to Capcom's Comic Book and Pop Culture Con, and I'm gonna be a special guest there, and
Just Carolyn, not Joe.
And Joe's gonna be there.
But I'm not a special guest. I'm a lackey of the show.
Is that what you? I'm always, you wanna
I'm
be promoted?
I'm
as?
Always a lackey, and Carolyn's lackey.
Well, it's pretty cool because apparently one of our friends saw a flyer.
Is that how it is?
One of our friends saw a flyer around town. I guess it was like at a bookstore, and it had my name on it, which I haven't seen the flyer yet. But that was like a week ago. He saw that flyer. We need to ask him, like, where that is, because I want to see it.
I guess that means we need to get out more to find these flyers that are advertising.
Yeah, it like, has my name on it and all, so that's pretty cool. And that's at the Dunloring Fire Station in Dunloring, Virginia. We'll have to find out where that is, Joe.
Yeah, that's a good point, since we got to go there.
Yeah. Like, it would be good to know where the event is. But I'm sure we'll find it. It's not that hard to find.
Yeah.
Yeah, so from what I hear, that's a good show. It's you know, a whole bunch of comics, and Matt Dembicki's going to be there as well, and I guess a couple of people from DC Conspiracy are going to be there as well. So we can promote Magic Bullet there.
Exactly. So I guess it's time to let the cat out of the bag now that we have a special thing that we're doing in New York. Now, if you go into the New York Comic Con website, you'll be able to see this news as well.
This has finally been released.
When you go to the panels and you go to all that. But I'll let Carolyn explain it. Because
okay.
this was her genius idea.
Well, on October 8th, which is the first day of New York Comic Con, we are going to have a panel. Curl Studio is having a panel.
Exactly.
Our first ever panel at New York Comic Con.
It's good that we sort of just jumped right in with the sharks.
Yeah.
And went to the second gigantic show of the whole entire United States and just let that be
our first. Yeah, this is our first panel ever. Not just at New York Comic Con, but just like ever.
But we do have experience talking. If you guys have been following with us on this show, we can talk for about an hour. We can rock and roll
for about an hour.
And
luckily, the panel is only an hour, so we don't have to struggle that much.
Exactly. Tell us more.
And we have, you know, four other people with us. And four people with us is Raina, and she does the book Smile, all about her dental experiences, how she knocked out her two front teeth in real life.
And it's a great person that's done many shows.
Yes.
Because that's what the whole entire concept of the show is. Behind the table, right? The other side of the table.
Yes, let's talk about the concept. Well, first, should we announce the guests since I'm already on there?
No, just go right for the concept and then give it a list.
Well, the concept is called Behind the Table, Lessons from Creators. And it was my brainchild because I was thinking about it and I was trying to think of a good enticing name for a panel. And I was like, you know, I always talk about being behind the table. Because I've talked about that for, you know, maybe two years, and I've been like, you know, behind the table, we're behind the table. It feels different to be behind the table rather than on the other side of it. Because I've been to convention as a fan, and it just totally feels different to be on the other side of it. It's a whole different world, it's a whole different way to view a comic book convention. So, you know, this panel came to mind the people who should attend this panel are people that either A, want to know what all the panelists are up to, B, you want to know what it's like to actually be a creator, or you have ambitions to be in that position. If you have ambitions to create comics and make your own stories and make your own characters, then you should be at this panel. Because you'll find out what it takes to make a book, and then beyond that, it's like making a book is such a struggle to even get that done. That's like, just to have a book is like a miracle. And then beyond that, you have to promote it, because no one else is going to know about it. So we will discuss techniques about promoting your book, getting the word out there, you know, maybe trying to find a publisher, or if you still want to self-publish, just techniques about how to get out and guerrilla marketing techniques and anything else you can do to promote yourself. And basically life about conventions and like how to set up a table and how to get involved and how to make a comic and tour with it.
Because there's like many, like there's thousands of times really that people will come up to us or Carolyn specifically and be like, well, how do you do this? How do I get down with doing this? You know?
Or
and,
even people's parents come up and they're like, oh, my son wants to do this. How do you do that?
Yeah,
and I'm like, oh, where's your son? He should be talking.
So definitely go to New York Comic Con 11:15 on the first day.
11:15 a.m.
Yes,
we're
exactly.
kicking off New York
we
Comic
are start-
Con.
Yeah, I'm proud to say that we are starting.
We are doing the kickoff.
We're going to try to record it, but I want to be like one of the guys that goes, welcome to New York Comic Con. Because, guys, I am, in fact, moderating
and
the show.
And then it would be... Yes, and Joe is
I'm moderating it. So you have to hear this voice, but in front of maybe hundreds and thousands of people.
You'll be like, welcome to New York Comic Con.
Yeah, we'll try to...
You should have your own ring announcer, like Alberto De Leo.
Yeah, but we'll try to stream. We'll try to do something. We'll try to have it recorded, and maybe that might be something that we'll put on this radio show.
Yes,
That might give us, like, a week break, but we'll never give us a week break.
Never a break.
But, yeah, that could be something that, you know, that's... And that's, you know, so, you know, maybe this was our way of saying, like, don't walk up to us anymore. No, but
we'll be like, we'll just hand them a card that has a link to the radio.
Yeah, check this out. This is how you do it. But this is a good reason why this is happening is that, you know, even on this radio show, people are like, oh, how do you get this radio show? How do you have this? The same thing with comics and movies. How do you do this? The other side of the table, you know, stories from lessons from creators as a place to hear and find out how's the best way, what's the worst way, experiences.
Well, the other side of the table also, I want to start making that like its own brand as well, because I already created a Facebook group called The Other Side of the Table, which you can join, and I want to carry on the conversation there. If people have questions, if people, you know, want to post something that they find informational that might help other creators, you know, I want to make it like a group like that.
But not something that will basically overtake your whole entire life, but something that
I just want to make sure that, you know, people can reach out and people can ask a question. You know, I might not know the answer because honestly, I don't even know what I'm doing. I can try to guess what I'm doing, but I don't think anyone knows what they're doing.
But I think that's one of the greatest things about this Other Side of the Table panel at New York Comic Con is that you have a great lineup of people that can explain their stories, their lessons. It's lessons.
Yeah.
This isn't going to be something like
this. This is not a guidebook that can guarantee you to be the next Spawn creator.
But you are giving giving out a book, though.
Yes.
We haven't decided how to give it out.
Let's talk about that after we announce the panelists first.
All right.
We'll go back to the panelists.
As you point at my face.
I am pointing.
That's sort of like Morgan Webb has a photo like that. She's like pointing at you. She's looking at looking mischievous.
So we have Raina who does Smile, and she also did the Babysitter's Club for Scholastic.
And also she worked for Marvel.
She worked on an X-Men manga, which, you know, I've read all of Raina's stuff, but I have not read the X-Men manga.
But I did see it, though.
And she wrote it. I don't think she did any art for it, but that I haven't read. But, you know, I am a big fan of Babysitter's Club and Smile, and she is the first person I asked to be on the panel. She was the first person I was like, I want her on the panel, and she immediately said yes, which was mind-blowing and awesome. And I was like, whoa, that's awesome. That's when I knew this was, like, really coming to life, because I'm like, wow. Like, I got Raina to come on the panel, which is awesome.
Yeah.
And her website is goraina.com if you want to check out more information about her. And we also have Brian J.L. Glass, who is the writer of The Mice Templar, and he's also writing the new Thor book.
The new Marvel Thor book, yeah.
It's pretty big.
It's big because, you know, Marvel Thor is coming out as a movie.
Yeah,
so that's
Thor
gonna
is
be...
like, that's the new superhero that's like the new Iron Man. You know, every 2 years there's a new guy coming up, and because of the movies mostly, but to have that as being a main focus of a upcoming movie, and then he's writing the book, it's pretty rad.
Yeah, it's a great choice for them. It's a great choice as well because it's almost like they've chosen Brian Glass basically just to help, you know, when people see the movie, he's going to be attached to that. Like when they go to the books, they're going to see his name. So he's another great person because he has, you know, he had his own book, and now it's like him being chosen. How does that, you know, what's the story behind that? How does that feel? And he's also an award winner. You know?
Yeah, he's a Harvey Award winner. And to me, what is amazing is that he has actually been in the comics industry for, I guess, over 10 years, you know, over a decade. And he finally, last year, won the Newcomer Award. I forget how they title it, but basically, what was it? The Newcomer Award? Or Best New Talent
whatever,
or something?
Yeah.
Basically, or like he won like a Newcomer, like, beginning award, but yet he's been in the business for 10 years. Like, that just shows you the, you know, there might be a struggle in the comic industry to get, just because you create a comic doesn't mean you just step right in and be like, hey world, here's my book.
Should it be,
you know,
just like the Breakout? Should they change it to Breakout?
The Breakout Superstar. They should MTV it up and be like
Breakout performance. Leonardo DiCaprio in the island, not the island,
but it's also cool. It's also cool that Brian J. O'Glass is a writer, so we have that perspective on the panel just from strictly writing. And I really tried to make sure we got different elements of being behind the table from each position. I didn't want to just only have artists. And, like, you know, there are some people that are writer artists on the panel as well. But Brian is strictly a writer, so it's pretty awesome because, like, maybe we might get feedback about how he works with an artist and how you work with a two-person team and so on. So there's a ton of questions you can ask him. And then on the panel, we also have Carla Speed McNeil, who does a series called Finder. And she's been doing it for several years now, and I think she actually just got picked up by a company, which I can't remember the name, which one, so I don't want to say because I'm not officially sure. But they're going to reprint Finder starting from issue one. And so that will be, you know, she's been self-publishing for several years. So it's pretty cool because now she is going to probably have a bigger base with that expanded, you know, venture off to having a publisher.
Yeah.
And she's a very interesting woman. And also the cool thing is that the three women that are in this panel, myself included, so me, Carla Speed McNeil, and Raina, we all are nominated for Lulu Awards this year. So that's pretty awesome, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and also, you know, I didn't anticipate necessarily to have three women on the panel. I know I did want at least two. But, so, you know, in a way, we're even. We have three guys, including you, Joe, as moderator. So we have three guys and three girls. So it's pretty, you know, it's a good mix of having that. It is definitely, like, not equivalent to the comics breakdown. Like, you probably only have, like, one woman out of six out of that, or even not even have a woman. But, you know, it just happened to work out that there's three ladies on the panel, and we're all nominated for Lulu Award, which I thought was pretty awesome. And then the last person we have on the panel is Jimmy Palmiotti. And you may know him from the writer of Jonah Hex, the writer of The Pro. He's also married to Amanda Connor.
He also wrote Power Girl.
Yes. Him, so many things he's done.
Yeah, and also with Event Comics, him and Marvel Knights. It's like him and one of his best friends, Joe Quesada, who basically runs Marvel right now. So it's like he has a good perspective. And he also, he has a huge foot in the Hollywood industry. You know, with Painkiller Jane TV series, he has a whole lot of things that's coming on. So he's another, like, asset to have on the panel.
Yes, and he's
from Brooklyn. He could be part of the mafia.
I love his accent, his Brooklyn accent. So I have to admit, that's part of the reason why I asked him to be on the panel, so we could hear him talk. But, yeah, he's a great talker besides having great accent, and he's a great personality. And everyone on the panel I've met has a really great personality, and even like Brian J.L. Glass, he's so excited about everything he does in the comic book industry. You know, he's just like really pumped to be living and like be involved.
Yeah.
And I think that that's awesome. Like he's definitely not like a guy who's all like, yeah, what's up? Like he has.
What's up, guys?
He's like,
yeah,
he's so excited.
I love comics so much.
He's the opposite of that.
Don't talk to me. I'm drawing. I mean, I guess he wouldn't be drawing.
Yeah, he's like, I'm writing my manuscript.
Well, I think that's one thing too. Is, you know, everyone here is actually pretty much a writer on the panel.
Yeah.
So that's everyone does one of each, which is a good perspective
actually,
to have as well.
You're right. Like, everyone does have the element of writing. There's not one person on the panel that's just an artist.
That's so, like, they're all creators.
Yes.
At the same time.
That's why I wanted to use the word specifically creators in the main title. Like, because I think that's an important word because, I mean, no offense to people that are just artists, but, you know, this is going to be a hard comment to make, but sometimes I feel like people are just, like, they're like, oh, yeah, I'll just draw.
I'll say it for you. Sometimes people just draw.
Nothing wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong. I know a lot of people that are just straight up illustrators, and they pursue that very well, you know. And then they would themselves say, like, no, I can't write. Well, then I'm all right. Don't write then. Just draw. Focus on drawing.
Well, there's
kick
the opposite of that too. There are some people that just write, and they're like, oh, I can't draw. I can't make a comic book. I need to find an artist.
Yeah,
and then I was like, well, just do stick figures for now.
You know, and me specifically, even in my many professions, I almost prefer it if one person just focuses on something. Then I can trust that person to, like, just, you know, not be trying to jump overboard,
mm-hmm.
so to speak.
But I think it's cool that all the people on the panel, like, they're about creating. It's not just about, like, drawing a pretty picture. They're telling stories. They have characters. They're building upon that world.
Yeah.
And so that's what I really, truly wanted. So that's why I feel like the panel is going to be so passionate and so awesome that, you know, you need to be there.
You definitely need to be there. And I'm going to just go ahead and say we're kicking off New York Comic Con because that's how I feel that we are.
So
we're setting it off.
11:15 to 12:15 in the morning on October 8th, Friday, October 8th.
The Javits Center,
Javits
New York.
Center, New York Comic Con. You got to be there, and we want you to be there. And we want you to join the Facebook page if you search for The Other Side of the Table. And we want you to be a participant with us. And we are really excited that New York Comic Con said yes to our panel pitch. And, you know, it is really cool to do that. And in addition, I contacted Dave Sim. And I don't even know how this happened, but basically he gave us a book to give away at New York Comic Con. Specifically for the panel, and he even customized it on the first page. He did this beautiful illustration that actually says New York Comic Con 2010, The Other Side of the Panel, and then he left room for all the panelists to sign or do an illustration underneath. So I think that that's pretty awesome. And his book is all about how to self-publish. And he's one of the top self-publishers. He's always kept it to himself. He's never wanted to have anyone else publish his books. And he has a book called Cerebus. And, you know, I've never met him. All I know about him is that he lives in Canada and he's a comic book creator. But I have to say, he was pretty nice to donate this book for us.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. Because no one has to donate anything. No one has to do anything.
Yeah, but I mean, he doesn't owe me nothing, you know?
I don't owe you nothing. You don't owe me nothing.
Yeah, he doesn't owe me nothing, and, like, he went out of his way to, like, send me a book and stuff, you know? So I think that's pretty rad, you know?
Yeah.
So, and also the stuff that I've been, like, recently I've been on a really big Dave Sim kick, and just, you know, I think he's intriguing, because I, like, looked him up after, you know, he contacted me, and then I was like, well, I want to kind of know more about this guy, you know? Because I was like, this guy's going out of his way to, like, send me a book, you know?
Now, Dave Sim, he does... What's it? What's the book called?
Glamour Puss?
He does Glamour Puss, and he also is Cerebus.
Yes.
Which was, like, number one for many, many, many years.
Yes, and so,
number,
like,
one independently made, too.
Yeah, that's pretty, like, if you really break it down and, like, really think about that, it's pretty, like, astronomical, you know? If you like, hash that down and break down, like, how he got where he is, it's, like, kind of amazing.
So that point, and this is before the big, huge independent comic boom, you know what I mean? He would pretty much say that he might have started that. Not started that, but set it ablaze. You know,
yeah,
one of the guys
that
set it ablaze.
And as Billy Joel said, we didn't start the fire, but Dave Sim started the fire.
He was one of the guys that could have started the fire. so he might have had a match. But
he's pyro.
Yeah. So, yeah, so him donating and actually, you know, him just, like, even... that's, to me, him donating it is donating the book is almost like giving his approval. And that's fine. And that's cool.
Yeah, we wish he could be here, but I understand he lives in Canada and stuff. So, you know, I mean, there's only so much I could ask of people to be in New York, you know?
Yeah.
So,
So yeah, definitely check out the panel. We're kicking off New York Comic Con. Have your badges ready. Get in there. Start this weekend right.
Check out the
behind the table.
Yes.
The other side of the table.
The other side of the table.
Yes, the other side of the table, Lessons from Creators. It's going to be me, Carolyn, Brian Glass, Jimmy, Raina, Carla. Who am I missing?
I think you got everyone. That's,
and every one of you will be there. Speaking of the others.
Well, can I
go ahead.
Can I say something? Because I was in the middle of finishing off my Dave Sim thing.
All right,
I looked him up on Wikipedia because, like, I don't like stalk everybody, but I wanted to know more about him. And one of my favorite things to do is, like, look up people on Wikipedia. If I hear a name, I always love to read people's biographies. I want to know how they got where they are, you know?
Yeah.
And even that show A&E Biography, I haven't seen it in, like, forever, but I like seeing the behind the scenes of people's lives.
Definitely.
Like, you know, I don't need to know little details about what time they go to the bathroom or whatever. I'm not talking about stalking like that. I just want to know, like, how people made it and how people, their path to whatever greatness, you know?
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, what's this Dave Sim guy all about? And then, like, apparently he has some controversy, which I didn't even know about. You know, but then it's like, it makes me want to read his books, you know? Because I'm like, wow, what's this guy all about? Like, basically what I'm saying is that in the past month or so, I've been really intrigued by Dave Sim.
Yeah.
I want to know more about the guy. I think he's an interesting dude.
Yeah, definitely.
So,
I mean, I never had a chance to talk to him, but from what you've told me.
Yeah, and then, like, also the other thing is, like, apparently I found out that, like, in Halifax, Canada, he's doing, like, his last ever signing. Or it might have already happened. I think it might have already happened, and they were promoting it at this comic book store that said Dave Sims final signing. And I was like, what?
Last one ever?
I was like, what? No. Because I'd like want to see him, you know? And then, oh well. Maybe he'll do one in U.S. I don't know. I don't know if he'll ever come down again. But we'll see. Never say never.
Never say never.
I mean, a lot of
people... Especially in the professional wrestling business.
But a lot of people say, like, the final whatever. Like, the Eagles have, like, had a final tour 10 times. Cher's had a final tour 10 times. You know? Who else? They all say that. You know? Jay-Z supposedly retired. You know, like...
Jay-Z just took a break.
Amanda Bynes is retired.
But she took a break for a week.
Yeah. It's like... Well, anyway, what I'm saying is that he could come back. You know, you never know. But I was disappointed when it said last signing. I was like, ah. Oh, I just got into you, and then you have your last signing. That's not fair.
That's not yet. We still haven't read Cerebus, though.
I need to read all of it.
All 300 or so issues.
I need to basically
read... top to bottom. We have a week and a half.
Read a huge...
2 weeks to read it.
Oh, my gosh. It's impossible. Unless I have speed reading capabilities, which I don't. I don't believe in speed reading, by the way.
You're saying that you got the most comics you've ever had in the past, like, 2 weeks?
Oh, my gosh. I have so many comics. Like...
What started this? This started at SPX?
Like, Baltimore?
Started at Baltimore?
Yeah, like...
I think this started because you started a sketchbook, and then that sort of ignited your, like, oh, I should get more stuff. Is that what happened? Confess!
I actually did not buy, like, large amounts. Like... But the thing is that last year when we were doing our tour... Like, you know, we did... What did we do last year? We did Pittsburgh. We did...
Now take consideration. We've had a tour for, like, probably... We've had a tour since 2006. But it's just every year it's gotten bigger and bigger.
But, you know, the first few ones...
To the point that we're booked all October and
September. The first ones we ever did was just greeting cards. There wasn't even real comics.
Yeah, we started small.
You know, like... So, think about it that way. But, you know, I'm talking about, like, you know, maybe... I'd say probably the last... year we've done hardcore touring. But anyway, so, you know, we went to Pittsburgh, New York, Baltimore, Small Press Expo, Heroes. Okay, all those shows, I did not buy anything. And I'll be straight up. I want to support other creators and all, but to go to these shows costs so much money for us to get a hotel, to pay for gas, to pay for food, to basically take off work if we have to during a weekend. Might have to take off the Friday or the Monday. You know, like, I work, you know, so I work a job, but then it's like you have to take time off. Like, right there, in a way, you're losing money.
Yeah.
You know, even if you have a set vacation time, you still are losing, technically, money. Or you're giving up your own free time, your own vacation. You know, other people are going to the beach. Other people are going to Disneyland. Other people are going to Europe or wherever the heck they're going. But you know what I'm going? I'm going to promote my career, and I'm going to comic book convention.
Exactly.
But what I'm saying is that... So, you know, I'm devoting my time and money to go to these things. So then when I go to all these conventions, I see a lot of cool stuff, and I did not buy anything. So basically for a year, imagine going to these things and seeing all these cool things, especially at New York Comic Con. I was, like, seeing all these crazy things, like, people popping up in my face, and booth babes, and all these... All these distractions, and people juggling, and people handing out flyers, and, you know, basically people trying to look for attention, a karaoke girl, and... And, like, I don't know, Chewbacca.
Would you say a karaoke girl?
Yeah, wasn't there, like, a girl that was doing karaoke and then, like, a African guy, like, doing some karaoke jam? I don't know what was going on. Basically, all this crazy stuff trying to get your attention and buy this book and do this thing and take this picture and put your face in this person's head. Basically, like, you know, they have those attraction things.
Yeah.
So, anyway... You know, I'm being distracted by that, but imagine going through all that and not buying anything. Well, that's what happened, you know? So, basically, I went to all those shows and I didn't buy anything. So then it was, like, abnormal for me when this year I went to all these shows in the past 2 weeks and I've been buying stuff. And in addition, buying stuff online. So now I have enough books to sink a battleship, and to be honest with you, I am eventually going to get around to reading them, but as of right now, they're just going to be sitting next to my bed. You know, it's kind of like, it's like, well, I have them, that's awesome, they're all coveted.
They're just gonna be hanging out over there.
Yeah, like, because at Baltimore, we met this guy that he does this book called Simone and Ajax, and then, like, I bought that book, and then like he really liked the leguettes, which was awesome. So we did like a little exchange. But then like I have that book to read. I have like Finder to read from Carlos Speed McNeil, and then I have like all the issues of Glamour Puss because this guy like sent me all the issues of Glamour Puss. And I'm like, oh, that's awesome. Like, it's so awesome that he did that. I'm going to do him a sketch in exchange.
Yeah.
And basically, you know, I have, what else do I have to read? Like, I basically have, like, a whole... And then at the comic book store, I bought stuff, too. And, like, I'm already behind. Like, honestly, I'm behind several months
but see,
of
you don't
comic
really,
book store
you don't really
stuff.
Have, like, a cycle of comic reading like I do. I try to read a book every day. What is your cycle of reading, if you could? Is it just sort of like...
It's like whenever I have time.
So that's like... It's like never...
Because I also did buy the Dave Sim book before I contacted him, so I have that, too. And then
and that's,
I have...
That story is interesting, either, because, like, you bought the book because you saw like, the self-publishing on it. And
yeah.
then I threw the idea, why don't we call this guy? And we had no idea what's going on. It's like, and then you just did it.
Yeah.
That's what we do. That's what people do, man.
And then...
They just do it.
And then, so then, like, basically, I also have other books. I have, I can't even remember what I have now. But I did buy some stuff at SPX. Like, I didn't buy, like, a huge amount, but I bought stuff. And then I have, like... A lot of stuff, man. That's basically all I can say. I probably have 5 years worth of reading sitting next to my bed. And then at Borders, they had like the best of American Library of Comics or whatever.
Yeah, but that wasn't really a big expense. But that is
that was
huge
$4.
Massive, that's
it was,
a huge massive
They had
book.
The whole book. It was like a $22 or $24 book for $4. Actually, $3. It was like $2.99.
Yeah.
Like at that point, I'm like, really? It takes more than $2.99 to even make this book.
It's like so impossible to find a sketchbook in that joint too, man.
But what I'm saying is that book is going to take me... How long is that book going to take me to read based on like my free time I have to read? But
I don't know, like the way comic books are today, they, like some books are like a 10-minute read these days. And you're
well,
like, what?
I don't know.
I
that one looks like a
this?
Bible or something.
I paid $4
That's
for this comic book and then it's all takes me 10 minutes to read.
Well, yeah, but it seems like most of the books that I'm talking about right now aren't like those ones that you just flip through.
Floppies?
Yeah. So basically what I'm saying is that I really do have like 5 years worth of reading material. And I have old stuff that I haven't even gotten to yet. Like, for example, The Wonderful Wizard or The Marvelous World of Oz or whatever, that Marvel Wizard of Oz.
With Scotty Young.
Yeah, like I have not...
Who would just say Scotty Young?
Yeah, like that book... I love that book, and I haven't even, like, read the recent issues, but I've been buying them, you know, as they come out each Wednesday, but I have not, like, read the whole new, like, whatever, second part of it, second season, you know?
Yeah.
I haven't read any of them. It's kind of sad.
When are you going to get to these books, man?
I don't know.
Is there an order? Do you have an order? Like, is it just back-ordered? Like, you have to still read, like, The Wizard of Oz before you read, like... any of the Glamour Puss or something like that, or are you just going sporadically?
I'm probably gonna go sporadically, but each series I'm gonna read from like whatever number is lowest. But I'm gonna go in order of the series, but I'm probably gonna, you know, go sporadically based on like my mood. But I am interested in reading Glamour Puss earlier.
Yeah,
because I feel like the Oz, you know, it's like, well, I'm already like 5 months behind on that. I can probably wait.
You know what our panel at New York Comic Con sort of reminds me of, and I, you know. This isn't just me trying to pretend that I'm Jack White or anything, but
sure.
it reminds me of It Might Get Loud. It's like this meetup of these guys, you know, trying to talk about what they do and like the lessons they can learn from each other.
Yeah,
but for some
it
reason,
is kind of similar.
Yeah, for some reason, like the quote that sticks in my head is, or the scene that sticks in my head that I can relate our panel, the other side of the table. Is when Jack White's in the car and he's like, yeah, maybe I can, you know, steal their idea or steal this. So I don't know. Is that moment, you know?
But they don't talk about really touring. They just talk about more of their inspirations and stuff.
But see, that's something that people can get. It's like people have to be inspired when they see this panel, you know?
That's true.
And it's...
Because in their head, the people that are attending this panel, I know what it felt like a few years ago. You know, it's like you see that, you're like, I want to do that.
Yeah.
You know? So they are looking for that inspiration. Sometimes they might not have that, you know, because they might have a family member or some friend that's like, oh, come on, man, what are you talking about? You can't draw or something. You know, like, people have that.
Yeah.
And then just, like, set you back if you get fed in on that negative, you know? You don't want to get fit in on that negative energy.
Nah, so maybe...
Or, you know, either you have that or you're already busy with work. And, like, you know, what if somebody really does have a hectic schedule? They have to provide for their family. They have kids. They have soccer practice. They have this and that. You know, that's rough. Like, how are you going to find time to sit down and make a comic book? You
so
know?
Let's,
it takes devotion so in
since,
that way.
Since I'm moderating this panel, let's give me a practice run here. What type of questions or what type of... I don't even know... At this point,
I know.
I'm,
what you're supposed to do?
I'm ready. I'm ready for that, but I just want to see, like, how can this run?
Like, so I'm like, supposed to give you questions
to
feed?
No, I'm not saying questions, but, like, in a sense, I'm controlling the whole entire environment. And what I'm thinking about here is still, I don't want to make it sort of like a classroom environment. I still want to keep it, like, hot and ready, like a $5 pizza off of what's it called, Little Caesars. I want to keep it hot. I want to keep that thing fun.
So well,
maybe
that's your job.
Maybe I might throw in some weird questions in there, or you know, let's ask the audience, or you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
I'm not there's whenever because you know I hosted Project Res for X amount of shows like forever, you know, and I'm used to throwing it back with the audience and then communicating with the artists on stage, and that's what's actually interesting is that when I look at this panel. I think a lot of people can hold their own when they're talking. You can hold your own, you know what I mean? Everyone there is pretty bouncy when it comes to talking.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be one of those situations because I know you were telling me before, you're like, all right, I don't want you to, I hate it when people go down the line and say like, what do you think? And you know what I mean?
Well, no, when they say go down the line and each person answer the question. So you always start with the person closest to the panelist and then the person that's further away. It's always like, what are they supposed to say?
Yes. You know? So it's almost like for me, I'm trying to think of like, you know, there's always that new method of how to get everyone to attack at the question or have the question open and spicy enough for everyone to attack. But at the same time, I also got to like open it up for the audience, I assume, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't really have to. But.
Well, did you want to have the Q&A? Like some people do the Q&A at the very end after like, you know, 40 minutes of talking, they'll take 20 minutes of questions.
Yeah, probably I might do something like that, but who knows?
Or did you want to intersperse it?
I don't know. I just want to
keep
it...
What if somebody raises their hand in the middle of someone talking?
I like to keep it sporadic. I like to keep it hot. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I like to keep, like, the motive... I like to keep it like the Carolyn and Joe show.
Well,
I'd like
know,
to turn this into a Carolyn and Joe
which
show.
Would you rather have 40 minutes of you asking questions and moderating the panel and then 20 minutes of Q&A at the end? Or would you rather just intersperse everything?
I would like everything to sort of just be a huge, like... tenant ping pong match.
Then maybe you should
and then
just
what
ask
I'm doing,
the audience
what,
just be like, if you have a question, just raise your hand and we'll get to you.
Yeah, and I'll call on
but you.
You
should start the first question.
No, I am going to start first. That's always the biggest challenge is that starting off. But what I'm most excited about is just saying like, welcome to New York Comic Con. Welcome to New York Comic Con. You are live on Ustream. We are filming all of you at this very moment that will be broadcasted because we want everyone to know the life behind the table, the other side of the table. That's what I'm looking forward to. I mean, at the you know, yeah, I can. Part of me wants to like control it, but also the other half of me wants to just set it on fire
but
and
really,
let the fire burn.
It's like a wild beast, though, because like you as much as you want to control it, you don't know what anyone's gonna really say. So the whole thing
the
is like a whole
part.
Big improv performance.
But that's the greatest part is that this is gonna be improv. Who knows? Someone might get stage fright. Who knows, it might be extremely hot in that room. Seth Green might be in the audience, you know what I mean? Who knows, Jerry Lawler might be there because there's a lot of people at that time that are going to be walking around and there's a lot of press, so who knows? I might turn into a huge asshole. I might be stage fright. Everyone, I mean, those are the factors that we just don't know. The only thing I want to make sure is that it's recorded in some way or form. I don't know. I'm still even trying to work on that, trying to get Brian or Jake or someone to come down there or come up there. But I think it's definitely going to be something that people should check out because it's going to be nuts. It's going to be cooler than M. Night Shyamalan and Bruce Campbell being there all together.
Well, that's rough competition.
No! It's going to be defeated.
At least they probably won't be speaking at Friday morning, though.
Yeah. Or it's not morning time, it's noon time.
Well, it's when everyone wakes up.
It's not when everyone wakes up.
Well, it's in.
Don't
it's
discredit not, our panel here. This is our panel. This is going to be the best panel ever.
Heck yeah.
I don't care when people wake
saying,
up.
I'm
people
glad,
are going to be.
I'm just saying
no,
I'm
no,
glad
no,
that
I'm
M. Night's not going to be across the hall during the same time.
M. Night's
going to be at our panel, man.
M. Night's going to show up and then he's going to change the ending. It's going to be a twist ending. He's gonna walk.
He'll be like, you thought this was what's behind the table.
What's gonna happen? It's gonna, you know, it's just like his movies. He's gonna look like he's walking somewhere, and then gonna twist and go into ours. Twist ending.
And then everyone's gonna be like, M. Night.
They're all gonna groan. Like, oh, he's gonna change the ending.
Him again. I hate his movies now.
Except for Unbreakable. Unbreakable is the shit, yo.
Actually, I really like M. Night a whole lot. I don't know what's gonna happen, like, when he comes on, like, which one of us is gonna go see M. Night.
I don't know.
That's hard. We might have to fight about that.
I don't know. Or we can send someone there to film it. I don't.
Yeah, but I want to see M. Night with, like, my own eyes.
That's the trouble of us being at the convention. It's impossible.
See, that's the thing about being behind the table. It's like, yeah, well, you have to sell yourself. You have to be there. Can't just leave your table and have fun like everyone else. You know, I'm taking this day off of work. You know, I can't just, like, run around and have fun like a real vacation. But instead, I have to be at the table and I get to see M. Night.
How about this? You go see M. Night, but you also have to film it then.
Sure, I've done it before because I did that to see Brendan Fraser.
Yeah, but you got to film it properly. Some footage I can actually use.
Yeah. Well, you know, I did join that Brendan Fraser talk later. So I didn't get the best seat.
I want someone. That's not that. I need to, exposure-wise, I need to be exposed properly.
Oh. Okay, well, you can teach me how to use your camera.
No, you gotta know about it. Can't just not learn.
I gotta just automatically know, like, at birth.
Either that,
this
or
is
some,
how you record.
Either that or just I'll send someone else to go do it. Hopefully we'll have someone else to go film that.
Yeah, but I can still go see M. Night.
Yeah, you go see M. Night. I'll go see someone else. I don't know who I'm gonna see.
Well, you saw Joss Whedon, the other one.
Yeah, it's about
so,
it.
So, you know, that is one of your heroes. But unless we do, like, the M. Night 50-50, like, I'll go to half of it.
No, that's it's impossible. It's there's a line. You gotta, like, fall in line forever.
Yeah, we'll figure that out.
And then probably it's gonna be a Q&A, then it's gonna be, I don't know. It feels like it's gonna be a combustible situation in the M. Night panel.
Yeah, man. M. Night's awesome. Anyone who says that, or groans about him and stuff, it's like, come on, man, you try making a movie.
There's a lot of stuff happening, but it's so great to be able to be like, yeah, we're the first ones.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's what's also really crucial. It's like, well, something else is happening. No, no, no. We're the first ones. Go to our panel.
Heck yeah.
We're starting the joint.
We are igniting the flame of New York Comic Con. Like, you know in the Olympics when they have the torch?
Yeah.
We're the ones that light the torch.
So yeah, so that's going to be, it's definitely going to be something that I look forward to. You know what I mean? We're going to drive in. I don't even know what the plan is. Probably going to drive in there early.
Leave at like 4 in the morning and drive into New York.
Hopefully get all the stuff ready until...
Set up our table and then go to the panel.
What time are the doors open?
I think we can pick up our badges like at 8.
That's good. Get set up at like 10.
Yeah.
At 10 and then...
We'll have enough time. As long as we get there at 8, have our gear like already in front of the Javits Center at 8, we'll be okay.
That's good to know. That's good to know.
I think we're good.
And also so the next week... So, yeah, but that's 2 weeks away. We still got this weekend.
So, this weekend we have Crafty Bastards and Capicons. And then next weekend we have New York Comic Con. And then the following weekend after that, we have Pittsburgh Indie Comics Expo, which is a whole new show.
I found it interesting that, like, when one of our old friends was just picked up listening to our radio show, and they're like, I can't wait to listen to the episode about Vajazzling.
What?
That's all that Jennifer Love Hewitt's gonna be known for now is vajazzling her
is that the official term? Vajazzling?
Yeah, that's what it is. Vajazzling.
I kind of have to admit.
I also saw like there's video clips of like some New York Times author or she did it.
Oh, she did an expose?
Yeah, she did that like a video of it and she's like, oh, and then you can see like close.
What?
You see like.
See her vagina?
You don't see her vagina, oh. You just see the upper part. Not the clitoral region. You don't see that, but you just see, like, you know, because she's shaved there, so it's, like, in that area.
Oh, like, and fully
then,
shaved?
Yeah. And then...
Well, obviously, I feel like you can't... You can't just put bedazzles on hair.
That's what's got to suck is when it starts growing back. What do you do?
But what if there's a hair...
Like,
what if there's a hair pattern with the bedazzler? Can you
do that?
That's
not how it works. That's everyone's all, like, cleanly shaven down there. And then they have to, you know, then they... place the whatever they glue it on or whatever they're supposed to do.
Yeah, but when the hair comes up, probably the jewels would fall off by then.
I'm assuming that. That would suck. It's like it's you're vajazzled and then it's all hairy.
Honestly,
like, well, that
though,
sucks.
But here
it looks like it looks like diamonds.
They must be waxed though, because if for waxing, that might last for like 2 weeks until
probably.
The hair comes.
Because they said there's a place like in New York that like specializes in it, and they're like, oh, you can go.
Because
we've been doing it. Yeah, Jennifer Love Hewitt mentioned it, but we've been vajazzling pussies all for like many years already.
Yeah.
It's old school.
I first heard of it about 10 years ago, but no one really talked about it.
Because it's all like taboo. They're like, no, you can't vajazzle that. But then as soon as John Morrison vajazzled
his abs.
He didn't vajazzle his abs.
Oh, that's gross.
He bedazzled his abs.
He bedazzled. But maybe what I'm saying is that, like, you know, they have to wax it. They can't just, like, shave off the hair down there, because then that would only last, like, a day.
Yeah, so that's the proper protocol.
So they have to get it waxed.
So, yeah, I mean,
or Brazilian.
At least on this, you know, it was interesting to see.
I kind of want to watch that.
It's like, oh, she's like,
but
and then she revealed it at the end, like she unbuttoned her pants and like revealed it, like, look at my diamond or look at my crystals. But it was
what pattern did she get?
She just got like nothing really. It's just a bunch of stuff. Just like it just put it in a patch, I guess, where her hair would have been, I guess.
Did it look cool? Like, were you intrigued by it?
I mean, it looked, the way she revealed it wasn't like sexy at all.
Well, she's
like,
a news reporter.
She was like, oh, here it is. I like my crystals. And then she tucked it away, and I was like, all right, that was sort of anticlimactic.
Well, like, what I'm saying is, like,
it was if, like, she was like, oh, yeah, this is just part.
Back
like,
to
oh,
the,
you're a pervert. You're
back
looking
to the
at
original,
my crystals.
Back to the original question that we asked a few weeks ago.
Oh, and I saw, like,
if
on
you,
Lopez, what's his name? Because that's the second time I heard Jennifer Love Hewitt talk about her. That's all she talks about is vajazzling her pussy.
Yeah, that's all she talks about. Seriously, I'd say in the past year, like, I don't know how Ghost Whisperer's doing. Is that still on there?
No, it's canceled.
Okay, so, like, ever since Ghost Whisperer got canceled, all she has been talking about is vajazzling. Like, she hasn't done anything.
She's bringing it back. But she was telling me how, like, not telling me.
She should be a spokesperson for vajazzling. She basically is.
She should just
get money for it, though.
Just show hers off, then.
Like, pose for Playboy?
No, she doesn't even have to show her pussy. It's not like, you can cut it.
Or, like,
you
basically, she could pose for, like, Stuff Magazine or Maxim.
Yeah, and you
is
just
Stuff
see
Magazine still around?
It beats me. But it's sort of like, because even on Lopez tonight, he was like, oh, really? This is the greatest interview ever. And then and she was like, yeah, I'm doing a little bit of yellow for you, blah, blah, blah. Like, she said, to match her outfit or something like that.
Did she show it?
No, she didn't show it.
What a tease.
What a tease.
What I'm saying is, back to the question I was originally asking you a few weeks ago during the Vajazzler episode. Like, if you were close to a woman, you got in circumstances where, you know,
circumstances
where she would, like, you know, show you it. And, like, you know, say you didn't even know about it, and she would, like, reveal to you, like, in a sexy way, like, oh, hey, look at my pussy. You know, like,
but the
like,
thing is, you're not looking at the pussy, though.
Well, but I'm just, okay, but basically what I'm saying is, if you were in a scenario when that happened, like, would you think anything of it? What would your reaction be?
I guess it'd be cool for the first time you see it, because it shimmers off the light, you know?
You're like, wow, her pussy glows.
Well, it's not the pussy, though. That's the thing. It's not like,
well, the hairy area that's supposed to be hairy.
Yeah, I guess people haven't gone that risk and just done it down there.
Well, I guess it's, okay. Well, anyway, say if you saw a lady that was all vajazzled.
Like at a strip club or something? Like,
no,
crap,
I'm saying
vajazzled.
I'm not saying that part. I'm saying, like, if you got a lady close to you and you saw that, would you, like, be turned on by that, or would you just be like weirded out, or would you just be like, oh, what's going on here?
Well, I think I would not be weirded out by it, because sexy is awesome. And
like,
just
do you,
the,
do you
just
basically think
being,
that vajazzling is sexy, or yes or no?
Probably have to see it in person, and it depends, just like anything, sexy depends on the person. So it's like, it probably would be very cool on the right person, but then some person that's like not working it, and they're like, oh, and then, you know, if the presentation isn't working, of course, the vajazzling probably wouldn't be as effective.
Do you think that it would turn you on more sexually versus just like a regular pussy?
Just like a regular pussy?
No, I'm not saying like ungroomed, but I'm saying, like, you know, if you just have a nicely groomed area down there versus a bejazzled area down there, like, would it even make a difference, or would you rather have it be designed and bedazzled?
I mean, the both are pretty much just as fun, I believe. You know, it's good. It's good to be in that situation for both of those choices. Yeah. It's good to be in a situation like, wow, look at this one. Oh, this is a different one. It's good to have like, it's good to be in that, I guess, in that situation in your life where it's, where you're like, cool, I can compare and contrast from the last time.
Yeah.
For the first time person, if they've never even seen a pussy before, if they've never even seen one before and all of a sudden shining, they're like, what the hell is this? Because some girls even have their pussy pierced, so that's,
yeah,
so it's like a combination of things like that.
Yeah, but basically what I'm thinking about vajazzling is like, I think it's kind of interesting. I wouldn't do it like every day or something like
how
that.
How can you do it every day?
Well, I don't know. It seems like Jennifer Love Hewitt does it every day.
I guess
she has a corresponding with her outfits
she
and stuff.
I guess she has that money, or she does it herself. I wonder if she does do it herself.
I don't know, but I know
she probably does do it herself. I bet Jennifer Love Hewitt does do it herself.
That's like how she wakes up in the morning. She's like, "Oh, what should I wear with this outfit?
Let's see. Let me wax this.
I gotta vajazzle.
Let me write like my to-do list down here."
That's how she plans her day. But basically, what I'm saying is like, I wouldn't mind like trying that out if it was like a special day. You know, like if it was like an anniversary or you know a special day that you want to celebrate. You're like, "Oh, hey, I'm gonna vajazzle myself." You know, but I can't expect that. Every time you're with a guy,
I'll cross the line when guys start vajazzling back.
Well, John Morrison is close enough. But basically, what I'm saying is like you can't expect somebody to always have it vajazzled. But it's I think it's good for a special occasion.
At the end of the day, I like it. It's best when there's a nice presentation anywhere down there, because it makes the other person feel special. It makes the person feel like, oh, look,
that person cared.
Yeah, it's like a bow, you know? It's like a bow on a present. They're like, wow, that's cool. that's good. And let's leave it at that, America. Let's leave it at that.
Vajazzling is a present.
Hey, we'll catch you this weekend at the Crafty Bastards,
and at Capicon.
See you there. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
Thanks again for listening. Have a good week.
See you on tour.
See you on tour.
Curls-studio.com.